Hey, welcome back to Witchcast, guys. My name is Julia. I am the host to this podcast, and today we have Ty back from Occultish. Ty, you want to say hi?
Hey, how's everybody doing? Hope you're doing well.
Yes, and today we're having a lot of fun topics going to be said. We're going to be talking about shit the moon says, and we're going to talk about banishing and warding evil spirits or like just energies in general. So, but before we get to all that fun stuff, let's pull a tarot card of the day and see what's going on.
Cool.
Yes. Okay.
What deck are you pulling from?
I am pulling from the Modern Witch Tarot. As you guys know on my Instagram, that is like my go-to like tarot deck. I just feel so in love with it. It's crazy. But so yeah, the card that I pulled from that deck is the Lovers. It is going to be reversed, and this card today or right now is because my earlier post I was talking about how the Lovers is not really a soulmate card.
Yeah, it's not.
It definitely isn't a soulmate card because a lot of people, they have this misconception that, you know, they think, oh, you pull the card, it's a picture of two people holding hands and, you know, they're pretty much basically in front of a judge type of figure, and they think that, oh, it looks like they're getting married and they're soulmates. It is definitely not the case. I think it's, like I said, I think it's really funny that a lot of people think that it is. I mean, it does talk about relationships and like major choices in your life, but I feel like the Lovers, when you do pull it, whether it's like reverse or like upright, I feel like it talks about more of just like raw energy that you're distributing to like wherever you're, you know, whether it's like with your friends or to the world. It's like all this rawness inside you that you're trying to really unleash. And the way that I got it today was I got it reversed. And so when it's reversed, it talks about a lot of conflict. There's a disconnect, lack of accountability, and just like overall detachment. And, you know, like with this episode, I think that it's an interesting card to be pulled because lately there has been a detachment with the world in terms of witchcraft and everything. I don't know if you guys saw the post on like witches, baby witches, like hexing the moon and the fae.
Oh my God.
It's a lot of, you know, information that's going to be put out there. It's a lot of just mistrust and just like, I think it's this card is perfect for that. So Ty, what do you think?
Yeah, for me, that's definitely like in alignment. A reverse Lovers card is telling you that something's out of alignment, you know. The Lovers is really the coming together of like two things. And usually, again, like you said, the Lovers doesn't really usually mean soulmate. For me, if a lover is involved, pulling the Lovers is not really a good thing because it means that there's like, it kind of more associates with the image of the Lovers and less with the actual emotion love.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That makes total sense.
Yeah. So it's like more about like the institution of love and less about kind of that. But anyway, when you do pull it on something that's like a reading like this for a podcast, it does kind of say that like, or for the day or whatever, it kind of says that like, maybe there's a disconnect. Maybe we need to reflect back on, you know, maybe where we could have felt more love in our life. You know, maybe there was moments today where we didn't act in that way, and that's why we're pulling that card reversed. Or maybe it's foretelling of the fact that, you know, there are a lot of internal struggles that I think a lot of us are going through right now. Like, personally, I know that for sure I am. And it's kind of a reminder to look for the love, you know, whether that's in yourself, in the world, in others. When you're pulling that card reverse, it's telling you that your cups are just emptying into the abyss. You gotta re-strategize. And sometimes that's just a perspective shift. So it's a matter of maybe giving, you know, gratitude for certain things in your life, or a matter of focusing on the things you should be giving gratitude to, as opposed to maybe being in love with things that aren't serving you anymore, you know?
Yeah, totally. That's actually a really good way of describing the Lovers card, because like we were saying, a lot of people think it's like a soulmate card. And I feel like it's a card that you should focus on loving yourself too.
Yeah.
Like most people, you know, they always say love yourself before you can love others. I think when you pull this card, that's absolutely true.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
Yeah, it's like it's a time to reflect on yourself, like you're saying, and kind of just like seeing what's going on with you versus just going on with your relationship. So I think that's perfectly fitting for this today's episode. So before we talk about, I love the title already, Shit the Moon Says, we're going to be talking about banishing versus warding, or banishing and warding, okay?
Okay, so, cool. We're going to do that first.
Yeah, we're going to do that first.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Yeah. So I did a lot of research on this topic. I think it's really interesting because I know I've done a lot of banishing in my life, but I've never heard of warding. Okay. So I guess the difference between the two are they both are a defensive type of magic, right? So they both kind of defend on what's going on with you versus like just trying to do something that's really malevolent. You're not doing any of that stuff. You're doing things to protect yourself. So I think they both have that kind of like base. And so with banishing, both are defensive types of magic, obviously. And getting banishing gets rid of like particular energy or spirits or like a person. And they kind of just like, you have to think really carefully before you banish something, because once you do, it's going to be like completely gone in your life. You're never going to see it again. You're never going to hear from it. Like if it's like from a friend or like someone that is close to you, or if it's like a family member, like legit guys, if you do this, it's like they're never going to talk to you again, or you're never going to have contact with them again.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And like with banishment, it's important to remember that, because sometimes that's not the solution that's necessary.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can banish people's behavior as opposed to a person specifically.
Yeah.
You know? And I usually try and choose that language when I use banishing spells and things of the sort. Mm-hmm. But you really don't want to banish somebody from your life unless they're like, you know, you really shouldn't ever see that person again. And that's going to be up to you to decide.
Yeah. And like Ty was saying, guys, if the person is like really toxic or if they're like abusive, it kind of makes sense to do a banishing spell for sure, because obviously they're hurting you. But, you know, if it's just like if you guys got into like a small fight, or if it's like something that's really kind of like just, I hate to say it, but like juvenile, I wouldn't do a banishing spell, because you're going to regret it. Most times when people perform a banishing spell, it's always for like little things.
Well,
like,
regret's a tough word. I mean, I do think that like, you know, we make decisions for a reason. But just know that there are consequences, and like,
oh, for sure.
Just because somebody that was toxic to you, you don't interact with anymore, I don't think that that's has a terrible aspect to it, but just be mindful, I think. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
Sometimes we cut people out of our life and we don't mean to, but sometimes it's for the best.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? Sometimes I manage people and I'm like, oh, damn, that was actually really helpful for me.
Yeah, but like, at the like, okay, so like we were saying, if you're banishing like a person, yes, be careful, like really careful. But like for me specifically, when I banish spirits, it's because like they terrify the shit out of me, right?
Well, and like, I think that's different. Like banishing energies is definitely more where like the banishing is going to come in.
You know?
Banishing people's like, it's like pretty, like really think about what that phrasing is. I'm going to banish you, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty harsh, I think.
Yeah, it really is. So,
yeah.
But I think banishing when it comes to spirits is necessary, because spirits tend to get all wiggled into our little lives. And as humans in the corporal world, we don't have as much ability to battle that those energies. And banishment is actually an incredibly powerful tool in that situation.
Oh, for sure.
You know, where I've been in that, where like I've had like an energy attached to me, especially while traveling. When you're in new places, your guard's really down, and it's really hard for you to protect yourself, I think. Mm-hmm. And I've had energies attached to me, and I've had to banish them, and it was necessary, you know.
Oh, definitely. Like I was saying, I've had a lot of spirits attached to me, and I had to banish them because they were just drawing my energy like all day, every day. And it like, you think you're going through like a depression because of all the energy that they take from you. So obviously like with, like I've had a couple episodes where I talk about spirits and how they feed on negativity.
Yeah, they do.
So definitely with spirits and bad energies, I think like Ty was saying, guys, it makes sense to do a banishing like spell.
On that though, we can transition really nicely into wards, right?
Yeah.
Wards are preemptive.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think like with wards though, guys, the actual like definition of it, I was reading and I took a lot of notes. Like I said, it's like a gentler form of defensive magic, and
it's preemptive.
Oh, very preemptive. It guards you against like negativity. It's kind of like a misdirection to redirect bad energy away from you, is what essentially it is. So I was talking to Ty earlier, and I was saying that I feel like before I banish things, I'd rather have a ward to protect me first before I go to the next step.
Yes.
So it's like a two-step process, right, guys? So like I would make the ward first to protect you, and then if it's like gotten so bad to the point where it goes through your ward, then that's when you start banishing.
Yeah. And a really easy ward that you can make can be with like salt and rosemary or salt and cedar. I personally use black salt. I like have a bowl of it that I literally carry like everywhere with me as I move through the house, because I'm always burning incense and things, you know.
Yeah.
So, black salt's a really, really good option for that. You can make it yourself from like the ash of your incense and whatnot. And that works really well. If you put it in a jar, you get these little jars, you put like a little screw top in them, put a little, you know, leather necklace on them and call it a day. You have a little protection jar to carry you around from, you know, minor energies and little things throughout the day that might otherwise impact you.
Yeah, so I think that's a really good idea. Like, you can even make like a small necklace out of it too.
Yeah, because then you can bring it with you and wear it.
I found this really interesting. Like I said, I found ways to make wards, and a lot of people that I've kind of read about is they make dolls.
Cool. Yeah, I have a lot of friends that do doll making, actually.
Yeah.
So, dolls are really fun.
Yeah, as you know, they're not like Annabelle, guys. It's not going to be like that creepy.
If you want them to be.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they can be, if you want it to be that creepy, so you like you scare the shit out of the spirits or energies. But yeah, you can make dolls to protect you. And yeah. Like Ty was saying, you can put like the right kind of or like anoint them with certain like oils and keep them in a safe space where, you know, they protect you.
You could even fill like a satchel and sew it into a doll. Like a satchel, yeah. Like lavender or something, or like of another herb or a protection spell, a few crystals, and like sew it right into your doll, and like, you know, you can sleep with it or whatever it is.
Yeah, I would definitely put it like at the foot of my bed, or I would put it somewhere in the house or in your room where you know that spirits will come through. Like, I would put a doll near mirrors.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's like a good portal for spirits or energies to get through. Because 100%. It's like a two-way street kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
I definitely have a bunch of wards like everywhere. Like I have certain books that are like particularly dark, like the one I talked about in our previous podcast. Mm-hmm. And I like always keep crystals and cedar on top of it. And like definitely always keep like different wards in different spaces of my house to protect me. Like that's a really big part of my thing. And, you know, plants can be that, or putting like ornaments in plants, whether that's crystals or keys or like whatever it is. There's a million things you can do to make a little ward if you enchant something. And it really helps to have them. I have them all over my house. And like, that's why witch's house are so famously associated with having like eclectic stuff just everywhere.
Oh yeah, you definitely have like shit everywhere because it's like it protects you.
It's either like an offering, like a recognition, or it's a ward to protect you, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that making sigils, like you guys know how much I love sigils.
Me too.
But like sigils are so important if you're going to either banish or make wards. I feel like if you made the sigil before you banish, like I said, I don't like to banish things that often. If they are truly going to fuck with me, then yes, I will. I have to. Right. So but preemptively, if we'd make wards of sigils and everything, I think that's so helpful. I think that should be like the first thing that you really kind of do in order to protect yourself is just to make sigils. I mean, like, I know, like, it sounds like I'm obsessive of sigils. It's because I am. I have sigils everywhere. Like, I have them in my room. I have them, like, I even want to tattoo a sigil onto me. There's so many different ways that you can use sigils, and I think that they really do protect you.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, as I've said in previous podcasts, but I'll say again, like, I put sigils literally on everything.
Yeah.
Like, I just bought a new laptop bag, and within a week, it's going to be covered in sigils.
Yeah.
Like, I draw them on my computer. I draw them on my legs. Like, I draw them on everything because they're so important to me. And, like, it really does make a difference to me. And, like, I have a huge catalog of personal ones, of ones that I use that are borrowed, of, you know, there's a wide background of things that you can use. And you're right. When you are doing banishing, that is important. Especially, like, I do think, like, on the banishing note, because, like, I do think there is a use for it. And I think the most use I found with it is maybe for, like, banishing, like, particular energies or particular, like, habits or things along those lines. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If I have something that I have in my life that I keep doing, that's something I maybe do want to banish. And a ward's not going to be sufficient for that.
Yeah.
You know? And I think in those situations it's good. And having that sigil is really important because it helps seal whatever that is that you're banishing away.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's actually, like, really true. I didn't really think of it that way. But, like, you definitely can use banishing for certain things and warding for certain things. It all depends on the situation, guys, of course.
For sure.
But, yeah, when do you think is a good time to make wards? Like, do you do it, like, on the full moon or, like, the new moon or which kind of moon phase?
I mean, it really depends, like, how complicated you're trying to get with it. Like, if you're just going easy with it and you're new to witchcraft, then, like, yeah, you know, don't get too complicated. Don't worry about that too much. Just do it when it feels right. If you're making specific wards, there are very good times to do that. There are some astrological events that don't happen for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
That might be a great time to make a ward, depending on what your ward to be.
Yeah.
So it's something you want to follow with and, like, look at your personal life. And, like for instance, we have, like, a full moon coming up, right? And it's in Aquarius. Mm-hmm. And right now Aquarius has us in, like, a lot of, like, social upheaval. And, like, empaths are experiencing a lot right now, you know? And a lot of people are experiencing a lot right now. So everybody, whether you're empathetic or not, may want to make a ward to just, like, help guarantee your clarity of thought. And that's something you could do with, like, quartz or selenite or some herbs or some black salt, or there's a lot of simple ways to do it. You could even enchant a ring. You know, I wear a ring every day that's enchanted. I have six enchanted rings. And I swap them out of myself. And each of them is enchanted to be a different aspect of something I want to call into my life. So depending on, you know, what that day represents for me, with a ward. You know, my enchantments are wards. Some of them are, like, manifestation. The one I'm wearing today is actually, it is a ward. It's a protection ward. And it's a black onyx in sterling silver. And it's you know, something I wear quite often, but it definitely is a ward for me.
Yeah. And guys, like, I do have a lot of enchantment jewelry as well. It's really easy to do. Basically, what I like to do for enchantments is I take, like, this, like, whatever jewelry piece that you want to wear, right? So it could be, like, a ring, necklace, it could be even, like, a hair clip that you wear all the time. And basically, you just need to put intention into it, and then you can say, like, something that's, like, what you want it to actually help you with, and then it kind of just, like, enchants it. And then I like to put it over, like, a sigil, and then I have it bathe in moonlight.
That's cool. Yeah, something I like to do too when I do spells is sometimes I like to let them sit for a moon cycle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, like, I'll do something on the full moon. I'll, like, maybe put, like, a ring I want to enchant in a jar with the manifestation, the crystals, the herbs, the things I want to go with it. Mm-hmm. And just, like, leave it in the jar for a moon cycle. And
that's a great idea.
And then anytime I want to recharge it, I just do the same spell. Or a new spell, you know, and I just can, like, if I feel like it's wearing off. I have crazy ring stories because I enchant all my rings. I have absolutely insane rings. Should I tell one? Do you think we have time? Or?
I think we have plenty of time to hear everything. Okay. Honestly, so, like, let's hear it.
So I work some seasonal work sometimes where I work in, like, agriculture and whatnot. And one of the jobs I'm working, everybody at the jobs are all, like, super, like, I don't want to call them heady, but they're, like, really into, like, crystals and magic. And everybody that works, like, in Northern California is like that. So that's just, like, that's, like, the basis for it, right? So we get there and, like, we're working and, like, two of these guys become good friends. One of the guys buys the other guy a ring, and it's a moldavite ring. And I don't know if you know much about moldavite, but moldavite's, like, kind of a crazy energy. Like, definitely do not recommend to beginners. Please stay away from moldavite if you're a beginner.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, no, it's, like, super heavy. And, like, you'll see as the story goes on. So they moldavite, like, it has this, like, power enhancement, right? It, like, really enhances powers, but it's at the cost of, like, what I consider sometimes morality, you know. Whoa. It's not entirely that way, but it does feel that way sometimes. So anyway, we're hanging out and everybody's joking around and the ring becomes this like object of obsession, this like Moldavite ring. Everyone's like, it's cursed. Like, you got to get rid of it. Like, it's going to make you do bad things. And they're like, you know, they're hanging out playing with it and they're like getting the dog to come over to them, or they're like messing around with people and just like seeing if they can get somebody to like go grab them a beer from the fridge or like sit down in a chair. And the thing is, it's working. Right. So I see this happening and I'm like, you guys are doing some dark shit and I'm not cool with it. And it's all fun and games, but it's like, you know, I'm like, come on guys, let's be mindful here. Like, you know, we all start this. So eventually it comes down to it where I, you know, it doesn't get out of hand by any means. Like, nobody's boundaries are crossed and like they're super respectful, but it comes to some point where, like, to be kind of funny, I take the ring and I go and hide it somewhere. And I lost it when I hit it.
Oh my god.
Yeah, we like lived in the woods. Like, we were like staying in like a condo in the woods, but we were like running around the river and like it's a very woodsy place. Like, most of your time is spent outdoors. And so I hit it somewhere. I couldn't remember for the life of me where I hit it. And the guy's, he's really heartbroken about it. Like, it really upset him and I felt really bad. And I eventually I found it, right? So this ring like magically like re-manifested. Like, I went to go look for it for one day and I found it. And of course I remembered where I hid it, but like I could not remember for the life of me. And I like just retraced my steps and I gave it back to him. And he was like, you know what, man, you taking it away from me was really good. He's like, I feel like I was really connected and like having that experience of loss, like really let me go get rid of the ring. And he's like, I really want you to have it. I feel like you should be the keeper of the ring. Like, you're really mindful of it. And like, he's like, I don't know if I'm experienced enough to have it. So he gives me the ring, right? So I start wearing it every day. It's great. It, like, you can feel tingling in your arm when you put it on. It's crazy. And
go ahead.
No, yeah, interject. This is a good point of interjection.
No, I was gonna say, this is like some Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter kind of shit. Oh my god.
No, it's so funny. It really is. It's like, it cracks me up. Okay. And so I get this ring and I wear it every day, and I'm kind of the key. And I don't wear it every day. I take it off a lot because it actually is a lot of energy to wear it. And I do kind of like, not in a weird way, like I don't use it for anything, but I like end up really like wearing it. Like, I really am enjoying wearing it. Like, I don't know why. Like, I don't have any specific reason. Like, it doesn't look that good. Moldavite's like kind of barf green, you know? So it's like not the prettiest gemstone that you can get. And like, it's not the coolest ring. So I'm just like, but I'm in love with wearing it. So I like wear it every day. And then a bunch of stuff in my life just kind of like was leaving me, you know, it's kind of been happening, like things that just aren't serving me anymore, or like exiting my life, which is difficult. And one of the things that exited my life is this Moldavite ring. And it literally just broke. It broke one day and I'm in quarantine and I'm like, the gem has to be in my house and I cannot find it for the life of me.
Oh my God.
And it's like, this gem literally just left me. It was like, no, I'm done with you. And I'm going to dip. And it just like, au revoir. Holy. Au revoir.
Oh my god, what a ring. Holy crap. And what's, so just like,
and what's funny is when he bought the ring, the person selling it to him made a big deal because Moldavite in the crystal community has like a reputation. And the woman was like, this ring's not gonna stay with you for a while. He told that to the first guy that got it.
Oh my god.
And then full circle, he gave it to me and he was like, when he gave it to me, he actually said, he's like, it's okay, it wasn't going to be with me much longer anyway. And then I kept it for about 9 months, which is not too bad, but eventually it's gone now. I don't know where it is.
Yeah, so it has like a mind of its own and obviously its own spirit. So like, maybe it has a spirit attached to the actual crystal who actually kind of just like helps you and kind of gives you energies and like different kinds of abilities, and then it just like bounces whenever it feels like you're done.
I really think it does. I mean, that ring had a mind of its own, and it really for a period of time drove people a little crazy. Like, it's kind of weird. And we were all holed up in the woods together, but there's like 20 of us. It wasn't like that isolated, you know.
Wow, holy crap, that's like, that's what an intense story.
It was last year.
That was last year?
Yeah.
Okay, wow. So it kind of just, like you said, it just dipped and you don't know where it is.
I have no idea.
Like the stone?
I've been in quarantine when I lost it. So it's like, and I've only left the house like, you know, once a month for groceries. So it's like, I don't think I really wear it to the post office. I only go to the post office once a week. So like, Unless one of those like random days when I did that, it got dispersed. I have no idea.
Maybe it's hidden from you for a reason.
I think it might be. And I'm going through a transformation, like I said. And I think things are like, I think that happens. And it's hard for us sometimes. Like, you know, with that wording thing and the banishing thing, I think it is important to recognize this. It's like sometimes things do leave our lives. And when we ward and banish, like it does either prevent them from entering or prevent them from leave or give them access to leave. And like, while pain does come with that, I do think it's a really important part of growth. And like, we really need to embrace that.
Yeah.
Even though it's hard when you're going through it. Like, I mean, if you're losing something that like is really personally attached to you, even if it's something really toxic, it can be really, really hard to let go of. And it's absolutely okay to mourn that. But at the same time, don't forget that like the world is in like constant change. We're flying through space at like millions of miles per hour. Like, you know, nothing's the same any second. So you just have to embrace that change and let like, you know, remember that the like transformation is a part of the process. It's such a big part of the process.
Yeah, it's like being reborn and like rebirth every single time, which is huge.
Yeah, it's really huge. And that's really what banishing and warding is really good for. I mean, warding maybe not so much. I mean, that's more for just like, you know, I hang things up and I'm like, this is cute and I don't want to explain it to anybody, so it's a ward now.
Yeah, you're kind of just like, okay, this piece looks nice, but you know, like it's a ward. I don't want to just like tell you why it's cute.
Yeah, it's a ward. It's like I have this copper rusted like star, geometrical star that's made from scrap iron. And it's like, yeah, why do you have this? It's a ward. It's definitely a ward. It keeps people away from my house. My house is super comfortable and it's a sanctuary. When people come here, they recognize that. So it's like, well, that's one of them.
That is so cool. Like, I need to have more wards in my house because, like, the only thing that I've actually really done so far is I've, like, obviously saged the entire house multiple times and I've, like, done, like, a salt perimeter.
Yeah.
But, like, I just think that wards are so helpful.
Do you have, do you live in an apartment or do you have, like, a house?
I live in a townhouse.
Okay, so you're like a combo. Yeah. Like patios are really good places for wards.
Okay.
Right?
Okay,
anywhere you have a patio, wonderful place to build a little like altar, sanctuary, ward, enchanted plant, whatever it is that you need. That's a good outside of that home. I mean, I get really creative with it. I mean, I'm an artist, so I really like to make my home transform. Like, I'll do everything from, like, hanging old rustic keys I bought on Etsy from the ceiling to, like, hanging, you know, I'll even hang, like, bottles of, like, you know, specimens from my ceiling sometime. Because I'm really into taxidermy and, like, some of those things. So sometimes I'll do that. Or sometimes I'll hang herbs from my ceiling. Or I'll put roses in the corners. That's a really good one. Flowers in the corners.
Okay.
That's a really, really easy one. Buy a bouquet, bundle it up really tight with some string, hang it in the corner of your room. Wonderful ward.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
That's actually really, really cool. Cause like I actually I guess I don't know if I told you guys this. I got married about a year ago and I still have my bouquet. I think I'm just gonna use that and just hang it for like memorabilia, but also to protect me. Yeah, and it has like it's definitely got like good properties of just happiness. So like it definitely can protect.
Yeah.
Wow. That's very smart. That's awesome.
Even to like hang something like that, you know, like above an altar space. I really like to hang things. Mm-hmm. So that's
okay.
I like dangling. I like the three-dimensional space aspect of my design. And magic allows for so much of that because there's so many like little trinket things you get to bring into it where like you can have like three shelves and they can be like stacked deep with trinkets, you know?
Yeah.
I get lost on a shelf for hours.
I seriously want to make like this whole shelf of just full of like crystals and trinkets and like different like bags of just me mojo too. Bags and stuff. Too. That sounds so fun. But as you guys are aware, yeah, I honestly, I'm in such a huge quarantine like slumber that it's hard to kind of just like get out and find things to make like that. So like once this everything is kind of like maybe lifted for a little bit, I'm gonna start making that because that sounds so cool.
You know what's really good to do during quarantine actually is like exercises that are I'm sorry, we kind of got off the ward and whatever topics, but it's like things that like are like that you can consume like fermented or like kimchi or like doing kombucha. Kombucha. There's a bunch of like wildcrafted ferments you can do, and some of them are really, really easy. You'd be surprised. You can literally ferment anything. Like if it's in your kitchen and it's about to go old, I bet you could ferment it. But things or doing like even like cold brews where you put intention into them, or like sourdough breads, like baking, like kitchen witchery is really, really, really a wonderful thing to introduce, or gardening, or some of those like more home-based kind of practices are a wonderful thing to bring in right now. And they're really actually easy to do. And the cool thing about them, and this is like one of the main reasons why I align with witchcraft so much, is because when you start doing them, it makes your whole practice complete, right? So like I start growing my herbs. Guess what? I don't need to buy herbs anymore. I have an abundance of herbs. Wow, doesn't that seem like magic? I mixed earth and water and I have an abundance of herbs. You know, that's magic, right? So it's like, so you start to do these things, and it's like, now that I have herbs, it's like, actually, if you grow herbs and you don't live in a city environment, you can use them to wildcraft ferments because they have natural bacteria on them that can be used for fermenting. So it's like, so you start to build this process, and it's like, oh, cool, I can hang my rosemary to dry. Now I have a rosemary smudge stick, you know, or I'm sorry, a smoking cleanse stick. And it's like, so there's like little things you can do, and as you incorporate these like kind of home ec, I guess. I don't want to call it that, but it's like these lifestyle decisions into your life, it actually enables you to be more magical on the day to day. And I think that's like, that's really what was a big change for me from being like, I want to practice witchcraft to like, oh, I practice every day.
Yeah. That, like, I think that is a fucking beautiful thing. Cause I didn't really think about it like that. Cause cause like I cook and I bake every single day, and I never really thought of it as kitchen witchery.
Oh my.
But like I
baking your baking shells in a sigil.
You know
when you do like an apple crumble or something like that, you put strips on top and you leave the breathe room. You can do that in a sigil.
Yeah, when you make bread, you can draw a sigil in the bread too.
Exactly.
Holy crap. Okay. Well, I know what I'm doing later.
Another part, but...
I know what I'm doing later, guys. I'm making sigils in my bread. Okay. This will be fun.
Please send me pictures.
Yes. I love that. Okay. So let's, we deviated from the topic, but like, I think we're good.
That was worth it though. That was definitely
for sure.
Worth it.
The story was amazing. I love that. But okay, so I think we're done with banishing and wards, and I think with moon magic, I think it's a huge thing, guys. And like I was saying earlier with the tarot card reading, hexing the moon, really.
Okay, before we get into that though, I want to say some things.
Yeah, go for it.
I feel a couple types of ways about all of this.
Okay,
but one of the things that I definitely want to say is that, check this out, guys. The moon transitions through a zodiac sign every 1 to 3 days, right? So the moon is this constant thing in transition. And there's a couple other things about the moon that we need to recognize. The moon controls our seasons.
Mm-hmm.
It controls our tides. It controls our planetary alignment on its axis. Mm-hmm. It controls our gravitational pulls. I've talked to professional doctors that say when there's a full moon, they see increased cases in the ER. I've talked to professional psychiatrists that say when the moon is new, that people feel down, you know? So this moon, the moon is, I can't say scientifically because I haven't done that research, but the moon is affecting so many aspects of our planet.
Yeah.
So before we even talk about whether or not you could hex the moon, Jesus, it's really important to remember the power of this one really small thing. This is really the, like, I don't want to get Christian with it because that feels weird, but it's really the rib of Adam type of situation.
Yeah.
The moon is scientifically believed to be something that fell off of the earth at some point in time.
Yeah.
A meteor hit the earth and a huge chunk of earth went flying into space and it became the moon. So that's really something to think about. This is really like the mother of... I mean, Mother Earth is the mother of our planet, but this is like Mother Earth's like best sister, you know?
Yeah.
Mother Moon is the most, one of the most powerful energies. We would not have life on this planet if that did not happen scientifically.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's really important to remember before we get into any of this.
Yes. And I want to say as well, especially for women out there, the moon affects your cycle. Yeah.
100%.
Like your menstrual cycle and everything. It plays a huge part into that. So before, you know, you start thinking all these crazy thoughts about trying to hurt the mother moon or like whatever the case is, I just think that for something that affects you personally, you should really be careful.
Yeah. Well, and then on that tip too, it's like, then we can get into the cursing of the moon, right?
Yeah.
How many times have you yelled at your mom and how many times has she been unaffected? You know, like every one of us has yelled at her mom at some point in our lives. Like I guarantee it. And it's like, your mom doesn't care.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, I get that, but also your mom can get really angry and yell back at you.
For sure. And you can say some hurtful stuff and it's going to hurt her feelings. And you should not do that because she brought you into this world.
Yeah.
But you know, so and I think it is really disrespectful, but I also think it's like a publicity stunt.
For sure. It's definitely, it's a huge publicity stunt because whoever did this or whoever brought it out obviously is getting the attention for it. So,
well, and it sucks too because it's actually like a lot of stuff happening. And I really do love transparency and the spreading of witchcraft. And I'm so happy so many people are like learning about magic in every capacity, whether it's through witchcraft or manifestation or whatever your spiritual alignment is. I'm so happy that's happening. But it's a shame because when things like this happen, it actually brings negative attention to our community.
Yep.
And it's like if a bunch of parents start getting upset because they hear about witch talk on the news, like that could potentially shut down a page like Occultish.
Yep.
You know, like if enough people start to create problems, it's like, well, I can't exist anymore or I can't ship you packages because your parents think that I'm evil or something, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I'm sending you crystals and like lessons on how to like, you know, manifest your true beliefs. Like I'm not, you know, there's nothing dark going on. We're not sacrificing babies or anything. It's like, so it really does have a negative impact and it's really a shame. It's such like critical moment in our transformation because there are more witches right now than there have ever been.
Yeah.
Ever. I was looking at statistics, and in 2011, there were 2 million people that identified as a witch.
That is beautiful.
Okay, in 2020, I bet you that number is
tripled. Like
10 times. 10 times.
Yeah.
Because there's accounts that have 2 million followers.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So it's like no, that number's like got to be 20 million, 5 million. Since like probably pre like, you know, colonization that we've had that as a possibility. That's insane. That's insane.
And, you know, like what Ty is saying, guys, it's true. Like, I wouldn't be able to have a podcast because, you know, some people think that if what I'm talking about is evil or if it's something that, you know, if I worship like the devil or if I worship something that's evil, like I said, a lot of people, like, we wouldn't be able to be practicing if, you know, we have bad publicity because, you know, there's a lot of people who actually practice openly.
Yeah.
And what if that happens to get banned again and we're just screwed?
Yeah. And on that tip too, mind you, there's a lot of people that can practice open that cannot practice openly. Mm-hmm. There's countries I can't ship to because if somebody gets caught with a package that has anything witchcraft related in it, like that person could like literally be killed in the street.
Yep.
So it's like this is a privilege that we're able to do this, and with that mm-hmm. we really need to be mindful of how we use it, because bringing negative attention to this community is really bad for us right now, and a lot of us need this. Like this is really important to me personally.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure a lot of you too, you know, whoever's listening.
Yeah, and you know exactly, we don't need negativity. First, we already have this pandemic going on. We don't need negativity going to, you know, witchcraft and like making us look bad because, you know, some of us are actually really trying to help people in the world right now because it's such a shit show. So,
and the thing is too, like witchcraft is so much more than even just a spiritual practice. I like to call it a spiritual art because there's a lot of things you do. Like we talked about earlier, like you can make things for yourself. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. it has a lot to do with just being like self-sustainable and being like one in alignment with nature, the universe, however you want to look at it. And it's like your deities or however it is. And it's like, when you're able to do that, that actually makes a really big impact on the world, you know?
Oh, definitely.
So it's like, and it's like not everything, it's not all spirituality. Some of it's like lost art. Like herbalism may be something that we lose like 10,000 years of evolution on in the next 100 years if we don't encourage the growth of that, you yep. know? Without like the exception of like probably like 500 to 1,000 people, everything we know about like mushrooms, medicinal, the ones you can eat, not just psychedelic or whatever, everything we know about mushrooms is would have been lost had there not been literally 1 to 10 people that created organizations that allowed 500 to 1,000 people to focus on that. And now we're learning that mushrooms like cordyceps, lion's mane, chanterelles, all these mushrooms that you can eat on a daily basis are actually some of the best medicine we can have. You know, and it's crazy. So, and that to me is a lot about witchcraft. It's preserving these traditions of self-empowerment, really, I guess, at some level, you know.
Yeah. And guys, like I said, like Ty is saying, I just feel like the number one thing to do is like think before you do things, you know, and it's just like what we were saying about banishing and warding, think about before you do it.
100%. Don't curse like the moon. That's stupid. You're going to get messed up. The moon's going to be super mad at you and she's not going to be happy.
No, it's not good practice. Like for one, you do most of your spell work and with like rituals with the moon phases.
Yeah.
And like, how do you think we're going to do that by hexing the moon, guys? That doesn't make any sense. Yeah. So
Julia, what are some things that you think? What's some shit you think the moon would say?
I think the moon would see like, fuck you guys for like trying to hex me. I'm gonna dip. Bye. Like, if you guys don't need me, then bye. Basically.
Actually, you just reminded me of a beautiful story I heard.
What is it?
It's a spiritual story, and I think it's native to Northern America. I think it's an indigenous story, and I really probably should not share it because I do not know it that well. But maybe it's not. It's like a parable. I think it's okay. It's a parable. So anyway, the sun and the moon, right? They used to sit above the earth every day, and they took turns. And one day, the sun decided to take over. And it said, I'm going to rule the earth every day for all days. And all the animals and the humans and the plants, they started to suffer like immediately. And they're like, what are we going to do? And the sun, so the animals got together and they were like, what should we do about this? And they said, we need to send somebody to go talk to the sun. So they sent the raven to talk to the sun, and when the raven got there, the sun said, oh, it's not my fault. The moon quit. You know, the moon was tired working and people didn't appreciate her and she's done. So the raven said, okay, I guess I'll fly over to the moon. So she flew over to the moon, and when she got there, the moon said, I'm not doing it anymore, man. It's not worth it. And the raven, mind you, at the time, the raven wasn't the raven. The raven was the most beautiful, colorful bird in all of existence. It had like rainbow feathers. It was truly like a regal sight to be seen, the raven, right? Mm-hmm. So the raven's up there talking to the moon, and the moon's like, well, the only way I'd do it is if you gave me that coat of yours. And the raven said, really? You want my coat? I'm like one of the most regal creatures on earth. And I said, yeah, if you gave me your shine and your brilliance and you flew me across the sky every day, I would do it. So the raven made the deal and became one of the most like kind of disdainful creatures for a while. And it was in exchange for the moon to rise every day so that the creatures of the land could have the moon.
That is a beautiful story. And definitely resonates to what I just said, because holy crap. I think what the shit the moon would say on a full moon specifically would just be like, guys, shut the fuck up and just, you know, start cleansing yourself and have more clarity. Like, just get your shit together.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I mean, the moon's so powerful, man. I mean, it's my favorite. I post about it all the time. I love it.
Yeah. And like, I'm a moon child for sure. That's one of my like huge things on my Instagram too, is like, I do everything moon related. I have an app. Like, I'm not sponsored to say this, but like, I have the app called Moon Calendar.
And me too. Me, like,
everything. And hey, have you seen the
Astro Matrix moon thing? There's this really, really good.
Oh my God, I have to check it out. Okay.
They do every time the moon transitions zodiacs, they have about like two or three paragraphs on the moon in that new zodiac. Mm-hmm. And they're literally unique for every like 2 to 3 days of the year.
That is so cool.
Which is kind of insane when you think about it. Like, that's like 300 readings, basically. Like,
jeez. Yeah. I'm definitely like gonna, I think I have it downloaded, but I haven't like looked at it for a little bit. But like, yeah, that's a really good app to use, guys, too.
I don't work with them anymore, but I do still support them because I love them.
Yeah. Yeah. And we should have like an episode about like what apps we use, because we live in such a digital world right now.
I know. But I did a post on it recently and it did really, really well. And I really want to dive into it more for sure. I mean, I've tried like literally every app.
Yeah. Yeah. Guys, and I'm like really serious though. Like, I've tried a lot of apps too, and the moon calendar is really legit.
Cool.
It tells you like what the moon like phase is in, if it's going passing from Leo to like Cancer, or like if it's telling you like, just it tells you like what quarter, like if it's a quarter moon or like the new moon, full moon, whatever the case is. It tells you a lot.
And all of these are opportunities. Sorry, go
on. Yes. And like, I think that when doing any performing any kind of like magic, you need the moon to do it. So having this calendar kind of tells you exactly which day you can do it. So like I said, don't hex the moon, and really just use the moon to help you.
I mean, the moon's okay. You can hex her all you want, but she's going to be pissed, and you're going to deal with the repercussions.
Oh my God, yeah. You're just going to deal with the aftermath.
And it's literally like, if you yell at your mom, and you should not have yelled at your mom, like, that's what's going to happen.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
Like, your dad might even step in and be like, hey, you misbehaved, and your dad is Mars. And you guys, I don't know if you guys know anything about Mars, but like, you don't really want Mars going against you.
Nope, you really don't.
And Mars is in Aries right now. Oh man, that would be a really bad time.
Yeah. So, like, I think like the overlying message that we're trying to like say to you guys is just have respect for everything. You gotta just take things in strides, but like, have respect for what you're doing and think before you do things, because if you banish the wrong person out of your life, what if they were your soulmate and you just had like a bad like talk with them or something? Or think before you do things like hexing the moon, like we said, just be prepared for the repercussions result, because you know, you may think it's funny at the time, but you're making all of us look stupid and look bad.
And that's really what upsets me about the whole situation. Like, I really don't care. Y'all can hex whoever you want. Like, that's fine.
Yeah,
you can deal with your own repercussions. But when it affects the greater community, it's really upsetting, because it's like, we've been working really hard to like change some beliefs about witchcraft that are super duper inaccurate, and also superseded in like some bigger political talks that are going on right now. It's like, there's a lot of like Western culture that wants to wash out this idea of magic. And it's like, right now we actually have it, and it feels really good to like be in this moment. Yeah. We could not have a podcast about witchcraft at any other point in time, other than when witchcraft was like widely practiced, like when podcasts weren't around.
Yeah, because like, think of a world where you guys can't practice, and like, there are many places right now where you can't even, like Ty was saying, like if you can't have like witch boxes sent to you because it has like witchcraft and it has like things that relate to witchcraft.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes like, I don't even think some of my podcast episodes can be released in those areas either.
Yeah, so that's real.
Can't have that. That's a real thing. Like, if that happened to us, like, think of how unfulfilled your life would be.
Because I feel like a lot of these people really want to connect. Like, they reach out to me, and like, a lot of these are followers I'm really close with, and they're like, how do I get this? And it's like, for me, it's like, I really have to get creative, because I'm like, well, like, look, it doesn't matter. Like, you have to get creative. You have to find substitutes, you know? And like,
yeah,
it's,
It's pretty shitty when you can't have the things available to you, or like I was saying,
it's a privilege.
We're so lucky to be able to practice things that we want to practice, and you know, without that, guys, it would be hard. It would be really hard.
50 years ago in the U.S., you couldn't practice witchcraft.
Yeah, and
20 years ago in the U.S., I don't think you could practice witchcraft.
Yeah, and you know, even still, the topic of witchcraft is still so taboo that people are kind of just like, what? Like I said, guys,
I live in California, so I'm like, I got that privilege, you know.
Yeah, and
I'm allowed to be a practicing witch.
It took me a long time to be able to tell my fans and family. Like, some of my family members still don't know I'm a practicing witch.
Oh, really?
But, like, it's really hard, guys, to, like, if we had to stay on the down low for the rest of our life, that would suck.
I mean, even though I'm out, I still get, like, I have friends, like, I grew up with. I'm from the East Coast, so it's a little, like, tighter out there. Mm-hmm. And I have friends I grew up with that, like, think this whole occultish thing's, like, so silly.
Yeah.
Like, they can't wrap their heads around it. I'm like, you literally think my life is silly? Like, you're a jerk.
Yeah.
You know, but it is. It's a constant conversation. And, like, luckily, like, I have been blessed enough to be able to, like, have the knowledge to address those conversations. And I know a lot of you maybe don't know how to handle them or haven't gotten there yet. But in time, it'll come. And, like, you know, always protect yourself first. But when you are ready to come out of the broom closet, like, it is very rewarding, especially if you're in a place that is accepting.
Yeah. And it feels so much better to be able to just say, you know what? I'm doing this today. I can't hang out later because I'm worshiping the moon.
It actually is really cool when you think about it. It's like we watch TV where this stuff happens all the time. Like, why would you not just want that to be your life?
Yeah, seriously. And, you know, I don't know. I get frustrated when I hear stuff like that with the whole TikTok thing. And it's just, it makes me like, it drives me absolute bonkers. But I mean, like you were saying, you do you, and like, just realize what could happen. So,
or you know, when something like this happens, it's a good opportunity for the rest of us to just give gratitude to the moon.
Yeah,
you know, love is the strongest force of all. Like 20 people hating the moon and one person loving it, like you just wasted your time.
Yep, more moon for me. Bye.
Yeah, more moon for me.
Bye. Okay, so I'm gonna wrap this up. I just want to say thank you so much, Ty, for coming back to us.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah. It's a pleasure to talk to you, and I love that we can always just do more episodes feature on, because I think you're such a credible, like, incredible, like, icon, especially for the witch community.
No, I'm not. I really enjoy being on here. I don't think I'm an icon, but I really like being on here and sharing my opinion. I don't do that a lot on my page, so this is kind of really the only place I do it, which is nice.
Yeah, and I love hearing your opinion and your stories. Like, that ring story was wild. That was wild. I've never even heard of that gemstone. And two, to think that it's that powerful, that
it was weird. It was really some Lord of the Rings stuff. So
yeah.
Hey, everybody, do not go buy a bunch of Moldavite. This is like the moon thing. This is not okay. Just leave the Moldavite where it is. It's hard to find anyway. Just leave it.
Well, I wanted to ask you real quick, is it really expensive?
No, it's not. A lot of people don't carry it. There's a lot of there's a lot of feelings about it in the community. Like, the crystal community is really, like, some people just don't vibe with it. And they're like, I'm not going to sell it. I don't care. And it's funny because I was going to buy the dude another ring. They actually – so, like, I'm going to dive into a little bit more of the story. I'm sorry.
No worries.
But I was going to buy him another ring. We left the hill that we were on. And, like, when you're on the hill, like, where you work, like, you kind of stay on there for, like, a month at a time, 2 months at a time, because it's agricultural seasonal work. And so, anyway, I left the hill. And, like, at the time that I lost his ring, I was leaving. So I was like, oh, this is so fortuitous. Like, I'm going to go hit the shop that he bought it at. I'm going to, like, pick up another one, just replace it, like, be a cool guy. Like, I kind of made a mistake, like, hiding it. That was stupid of me. Like, it was funny, but it wasn't right. And so I hit up the shop and they're like, nope, that was the only one.
Dang, that is,
and
so
I like went to a bunch of other crystal shops and like, nope, we don't carry it. And I was just like, and I haven't been able to find it. And mind you, I've been looking for like crystal wholesalers for my business, and for the first time today I found a relatively expensive for like such an unknown crystal, like 1 gram piece of it, which is very, very tiny. And that's the first encounter I've had with it since looking for it.
Wow.
I think it's more accessible than that. Like, I haven't really tried to find it, mm-hmm. but like, I don't come across it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, it's kind of out of my peripherals. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll definitely kind of like check that out. Cause like I said, that's such an interesting story. Cause I never really thought that there would be a stone or a crystal out there that could have that much power over a person. So
it was weird. I mean, we were all interconnected. There was a lot of things going on, but yeah,
for sure. Okay, like I said, well, thank you so much, Ty.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah. All right, guys, if you have any questions, let me know. You can DM me on my Instagram, or if you want, you can reach out to Cultish. You can reach out to Ty. I'll link his Instagram on my podcast, and then you guys can check out his Facebook page too, which is really cool. So just want to say thanks again.
Thank you.
Of course. And we'll see you guys in the next one.
Thanks, guys. Bye. Have a good day, everybody. Sending love and light.
All right. Thanks. Bye.